All right, let's we could. The Apostles' Creed is, you guys probably know this, but I learned it when I was a little kid because I grew up a Catholic, so we all knew the Apostles' Creed. And it's good because it's just basically the Word of God. It's just what we believe. We believe in, it's basic stuff, but it's really good to go over it every day. And I do, I say it a little different now than I did when I was a Catholic. When I was a Catholic, I just kind of said it because I memorized it, and it was by rote. I didn't really say it from the heart. But now we can all say it from the heart. Even if it doesn't, even if emotionally you're not tied to it or anything like that, it's still, it's good. So let's go ahead and say it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Sometimes when I say it in the morning, it lasts like 30 minutes because I'll pray as I go. Like Jesus is coming back, that part I might say, have some things to say, or to remind God of some scriptures. So it's good. Our Jesus is coming back. He's going to judge the quick and the dead, those that are alive. But that could mean two things. That could mean Jesus, the bios, that we're actually alive on earth, or it could mean spiritually. Because the people, everybody that does not have the Son of God is dead. Even though they're alive, they're dead. So, it's interesting how Christianity is like that. Death to us always brings life. But death to the world just brings death. Because for us, there's no fear of death. There's no sting in death. The sting of death is the law, and the strength of the law is, I mean, the strength of the sin is the law. So we're not under law anymore, so we'll never die. Although we die daily. See, everything's different for us. Yeah. Death to us is just death to the world. And that's a little bit we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about why you were chosen from the foundations of the world to be who you are, to be a Christian. You were chosen by God. And God chooses everything for you. He chooses you to be his very own, His beloved. He chooses you to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people. And the word chosen is the same as church, ecclesia. It's just you've been born from above. You're changed because God willed it, not because you willed it. You did not will anything. And God chose you before the foundations of the world to be holy, to be blameless in His sight. And that's how you are. That's how God looks at you, holy, blameless in His sight. Even though your behavior doesn't match that, it does not matter. Your behavior will never match who you are. Because it's in heaven. God even chose, okay, I'm going to read it in Psalms 47, but God, it says in 47:4, He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. So God chose Abraham, He chose Isaac, He chose Jacob, before they were even born. He chose you before you were even born, that you would be holy and blameless before Him in love. And you have the same exact covenant, the same exact everything as David had, King David, that an everlasting covenant, the same thing as Abraham. Abraham's not like, you know, more spiritual than us or anything, or Jacob or Isaac or Samson or anybody in the Old Testament that you want to think of, Moses. But God has chosen us us before the foundation of the world, that we could be His church. And the only thing, I'm telling you, this is true, and Jim says this all the time also, the only thing that God's interested right now is not the world, because He's not judging the world right now. It looks like He might be, but they're just falling into their own traps, their own sin and all that. But God's more interested only, and I watch this very carefully, because God is only interested in His people, His church, particularly His church. And church is going to be made up of, it says in the Bible, of Jew and Gentile, and it is made up of Jew and Gentile already, but it will be even more. And that, so there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference at all. That we all, if we're born from above, if you're a Christian, then you are born from above, and it's just something God chose. God chose you. You did not choose Him. If you think about when you got saved, when you got born again, how you didn't even know what you were doing. Exactly. I mean, you really didn't know anything, but you thought you might have known something. Have you ever listened to Billy Graham? Well, I was watching a movie the other day, and he was in the movie, so he was preaching. And I always thought this, because I actually got saved through the Baptist. Seminary students led me to the Lord, but I always thought Billy Graham's preaching was really extremely boring. And it was like, But I got to listening to him, and I thought, why do people get saved by listening to this? Because all he did was basically just say scriptures. He told man's condition. This is your condition right now. And the only remedy for that, this is how he preached. And that the only remedy for that situation you're in, how your life, your sin, he would tell them all about their sin, how bad they were and everything. And then he'd just tell them how much God loved them. And it was very simple. If you ever listened to him preach, probably you all have. And he had that southern drawl, and it was just... And Leah just looked, she goes, I think his voice is soothing. So maybe that was, I don't know what it was, but man, then people would just come to get saved. And the guys that led me to the Lord were just bumbled through the whole thing. It took them weeks to lead me to the Lord, because I didn't even understand what they were talking about, for one thing. But the guy did give me a Bible, and that was good, because I read it, because I wanted to know about this whole Christianity thing. Even though I grew up Catholic, I didn't know anything about Christianity. So I read the whole Bible. And then, so after I got done reading, I asked him, because he was still trying to do his... Because you know how they got the Roman road, and then they got the key thing. I don't know why I remember that, because I remember that's when it happened. He goes, this is the key to my car, this is the key to my house. And he had his keys out. But Jesus has the key to your heart, or something like that. So I was like, what? I didn't even know what he's talking about. So I go, but how do you know? I mean, how do you know? And he goes, well, let's pray. And so that was it. And then it was done. But so no matter how you do it, it's up to God. It's God that wills it. It's not up to man. Man cannot will anything. As a matter of fact, everything man does has a side effect or it turns out to be evil. Even the internet, even social media, even Google and all these things that they're coming out with. They already count. I'm not saying they're coming out with that, but they have all these things, Facebook, all these things. And God uses all that. I'm not saying He doesn't use it. I'm just saying it all has a side effect that'll affect things in a negative way. Because God, the only things God does turns out for good. Everything the devil does, God turns it to good, but it has an effect. Even doctors, even medicine, everything you can think of in this world that man has made, oil, whatever, things we discover, things we use, it always has some side effect to it. Because it's man-made. Because people put their hope in it. They trust it. They put their hope in science. They put their hope in all kinds of things. Sports. But God's getting rid of all that stuff, all that idolatry in the church right now. God is getting rid of for His people. And you've been chosen out of the world. When I got saved, I knew that my family, even though I loved them, but I left all that. I left all their philosophy. I left all their religion. I left all their culture. I left everything. Didn't mean I didn't love them. I still went to visit my mom and dad and had fellowship with them and all that. But they knew that I wasn't their good Catholic boy anymore. I was somebody else, and I was, because I was born from above. I was chosen out. Not that I'm better than anybody. I'm not. I'm actually pathetic, and so are you. You're nothing. If a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So you're nothing. But not to God. You're everything to God. That's why God has not chosen the wise of this world. Have you ever noticed that? He even chose the foolishness of preaching to save people. I read that the other day. I thought, yeah, preaching is pretty foolish. But it is. From the world's point of view, but not from ours. For us, it's the power of God unto salvation. Preaching the word of God actually saves your soul.
Yeah.
That's why you have pastors and evangelists, prophets, prophets, apostles, the four ministry guys, and teachers. That's why you have those guys. But anyway, let's read Psalms 47. It's really short. It's very short. Well, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Now, you need to do that. That's a song, actually. Clap your hands, all you people. It's actually a song. We used to, in the 80s, when I got saved, all the songs were really simple and happy. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
They were very happy, I thought. So every time I went to church, it was a blessing to go to the worship service because everybody was like, hey, everybody's clapping. And the songs were real simple. Even I could understand them because they were just right out of the scripture. Okay, so every day, as a matter of fact, when I was driving over here, I said, Titus, he knows the routine. I go, you got to put your fingers in your ears, okay? So he puts his, we're driving along, then I shout. Because you always begin your day in victory. Because God chose you. You're not like the world. You don't begin in defeat. You don't begin by going, oh God, I need $5 today or whatever. Or I need this or I need that. You always start out in victory. Thanking God for all he's done.
Amen.
Shouting to God with the voice of victory.
Amen.
Because thanks be unto God who always, always, always causes you trouble. But it's just by faith.
Amen.
It doesn't look that way. My days never look like I'm winning, but I always am. And I believe it. So it makes me happy. It settles my soul. Soul, David said, put your hope in God. Trust in the Lord. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
Because even a lot of friends of mine, I could name them, but you guys probably recognize some of them, but they were just like really... just got into the whole, gosh, my finger's bleeding, to the media, you know, listening to all the news and really just engulfed everything and all that. But I noticed they were always, you know, downcast. They were always depressed. They weren't happy and they were complaining about everything. But I thought, you know, the Bible says don't speak evil of dignitaries. Whatever that means, whatever you think that means. But to me, it meant that I'm not going to speak evil of any man. I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to pray for my enemies. I'm going to pray for those who despitefully use me and all those kind of people. And I'll pray for the good people too. I'll pray for whatever God wants me to. Because the Bible says, first of all, supplication, prayers, and thanksgiving be made for all men, especially for those that are in leadership. You know, Pastor Jim, pastors, religious leaders, politicians. You just pray for them. Then you don't have to worry about it. Once you pray, it's over. You just cast all your cares on the Lord. It's up to him anyway. You can do nothing. You can do nothing. You can never change the world. Have you ever tried to change another person to make them better? well, you just need to lose weight and you'll build that, you'll be better. It's true. I'm not saying it. I'm not against that. I'm just saying we always try to improve ourselves, improve other people. When they don't improve or believe like we believe, we get upset, mad, vicious. You know, my wife is always telling me, I learned with my wife, we've been married for 35 years now. Whatever she says, I just, you know, okay, I'll do it. Eat this. Don't eat that. You don't like that. You like this. It's pretty funny. So I don't even know what I like or don't like. My wife knows all that. Are you guys going to do this? I don't know. Honey, do you like that or not? I don't know if we like that or not. I don't even know what I like anymore. I'm not my own. But I just do that because I love my wife. And I think I do everything for her. I don't do things for myself anymore. Even though she thinks I do, I don't. Like, for instance, I was telling you guys about all the animals we have in our house. I've got 7 cats and 4 dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
Not ours. Not all of them are ours. Some of them are kids because they're... Oh, Megan, my daughter, my oldest daughter, she's had a premature baby, so they're busy doing things at the hospital. So we took the dogs, the kids. Basically, their whole life is at our house.
Wow.
So we have 2 or 3 households that are, and plus we have our daughter across the street, and anyway, we got a lot of animals. So this morning, I woke up at my normal time. I had to let the puppy out because she's spazzing out because he has to go to the bathroom, and the cats all want to eat, that all the dogs want to eat, and I got to, every animal we have eats separately than the other one. So I got to feed the one, then I got to wait so that dog won't eat, the dogs won't eat the cat food. I mean, anyway, it's a mess. I'm just like, my goodness, Lord.
I call that a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. But I was, and then I'm, I was telling them earlier, I was sitting down reading my Bible, and the cat's laying across my Bible, and then the puppy's chewing on my foot. I mean, it's just like, wow.
Hallelujah.
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 So I thought, man, this is, I back ago, somebody saw it, it'd be funny. I think at house church one evening, I was sitting there teaching, and I had like 2 cats hanging on me anyway. It's crazy. Animals are fun, but my goodness, I think we got too many. Well, I said that for, because I just recently got my wife a dog for our anniversary, because she wanted a dog in the house, because when I'm gone, because we've always used dogs for not only just for pets, but for security, because we have a dog, a big, intimidating looking, big old black dog, kind of part Rottweiler and other thing, but it's a really nice dog. It would never hurt a human being, but it looks pretty mean. So he's our outside security. Then I was going to get her another little dog, Australian Shepherd, because she likes those dogs. So anyway, I surprised her the other night, and I got her one. My daughter went and picked it up for me, and then she brought it. Anyway, but it's just a little puppy. It's only 5 and a half weeks old. But I forgot when I got her the dog. I mean, she was really pleased. I mean, she was happy. But I forgot how much work puppies were. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so I got my work cut out for me. So, but God is good. For the Lord, most, this is verse 2, Most High is terrible. That means He's awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. God is a king over all the earth. All the earth. And you've been chosen. That means He chose all of you. Every one of you in this room have been chosen by God Himself because He loves you with an everlasting love. You are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. You are set apart, sanctified. Every blessing that Abraham got, Isaac, Jacob, it just went down the road all the way to you. And as a matter of fact, yours is better. You have a better covenant.
Amen.
On better promises.
Amen.
Because Abraham never saw it. He looked at far day and he was glad. So everything that I see today, Abraham never saw it. This is the best days to live.
Yes.
The best. This is the absolute best time. It doesn't look like it, but who cares what it looks like. This is the best time to live right now. For my kids, it's the best time for my kids to have all their babies, even though you don't think that. A lot of people don't think that, but that's not true. kids are a blessing. As a matter of fact, it even says in Psalms, it says that a man of God will have his table, you know, have his kids, his wife, his kids sitting around his table, and he's blessed. So I'm blessed. I am so blessed. It didn't say anything about cats and dogs, though. I've got to think about that one. Okay. He shall subdue the people under us, the nations under our feet. Well, that's a promise. So don't worry about the nations. Don't worry about whether they're going to make it or not make it. They're not going to make it because we're going to make it. Even though we're the least, we are the least. We are so, if you watch the news, we are so irrelevant. It's not even funny. That's good. I like it that way. So I can sneak, I can get the gospel and I can sneak it in. We had a lady come to our house pick up a dog, one of the cats yesterday that Leah put on. I mean, she put that thing online. I mean, like, she got like 25 emails like in 5 minutes. Everybody wants all these cats. I don't know why, but they, I guess people like cats. But she came to our house. She had crosses tattooed on her chest and some on her back. And I was just leaving to go pick up dinner because my wife didn't have time to cook dinner, so I went and picked up some Chick-fil-A or whatever. And then this lady came, and Leah goes, "Hey, you must be a Christian," because she had tattoos of crosses on her. She goes, "Yeah, you know, I try to be. I try to do the best I can. But that's not a Christian. A Christian is not doing the best you can. That has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Christianity, doing the best you can." And I have friends of mine, they don't go to our church, but they believe that. They believe you do the best you can, the best you can do, and then God will help you out. Because God takes care of those who take care of themselves and all that kind of stuff. But that's not true. You will never overcome sin. You'll never do anything. You cannot be a Christian. Only God can do that. Only God can do that work in you, for you, and through you. You cannot do it. You can do nothing. But he chose you. It's like Titus. Titus is just a little kid. He knows a lot. He's pretty smart, actually. But I got to do everything for him. Not so much now because he's 9 now, but when he was little, you know, he'd, "Dad, I want to mow the lawn. I want to do this." He wants to do all these things, but I have to do it, even though I'm doing all the work, plus some, because he messes up everything. And that's how I just think that God must be that way. Amen. He's like, "Raul," Raul's trying to improve his life and help himself and all that. But and God's like, "Oh, no, wait, I'll do that. No, let me do it. But we're all like, "No, God, I think I can do it. I think I can be happy apart from you." That's why we're idolatrous. That's why we're into so many things. Because when this whole pandemic thing started and all this crazy stuff started, when Trump got elected and all that, but people reverted. I noticed that people I know just reverted back to their old stuff. People that drank, they still drink, get drunk all the time. People that are really, 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 really into sports, they're still really, really. They just kind of fell back on all that same stuff. But people that love the Lord, they turn to the Lord. I noticed that too. That they trust in the Lord. They don't trust in themselves. They don't trust the fact that they're going to help the world, help God out. I mean, really, when you read the Bible, you cannot help God out. He does everything. Yeah. All of his promises are yes and amen. That's why if you live by promise instead of by law, then you're blessed. Mm-hmm. Then you won't sin. I mean, you'll sin. But sin will not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. Until Jesus comes back, you'll always sin. You'll always sin. Your behavior will never measure up. So there has to be another way. That's Jesus. Jesus, if you have Jesus, you have life. Amen. You don't have Jesus, you do not have life. It's that simple. for you're born again, to be born again, but also to live your everyday life. Every day I have Jesus. And that's it. I have nothing else. Nothing. Not my wife, not my kids, not my family, not my background, not my pedigree. I got nothing. Not my culture, not my job, not Pastor Jim, not this church, not any church. I have nothing. All I got is Jesus. And that's the way I look at it. And then whatever I get added to that, that's God. He says, if he give you Jesus, you freely get all things. But God gives you desires of your heart, not your flesh. People get that all mixed up. It's desire of my heart to move out in the country. Me and my wife did that when we were younger. And it was awesome. We had a great time and everything. But it's a lot of work. When you live out in the country, you can't just run down to Costco or Starbucks and whatever. You're out in the country. It's a long drive. And when you want to get something fixed, you got to fix it yourself. So I learned to fix a lot of things. Because you can't just run down to Home Depot because you're way out in the country. And you have animals and you got all kinds of predators and problems. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So if you're thinking about moving out in the country to escape all the stuff, you better ask God. Because God told us when we lived out there, we lived out in the country for 25 years. Then we moved back to the city. But we were just as happy. I noticed we were just as happy in the city as we were in the country. And we still had the exact same sins. Exactly. So it was nothing different. Except in the city there was more people, which I liked because then you had people to talk to and witness to. But out in the country, you know, the coyotes, they won't listen to the gospel that well. So anyway, God is good. So besides that, he told Abraham, he said, you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the country. You can be blessed anywhere.
Amen.
You can be blessed in Africa, you can be blessed in the United States. Everywhere you go, you're blessed. So you're blessed no matter where you're at. You could be in Mexico, you could be in Canada. I don't care where I am. I really don't. As long as I have 4 pillows and my wife, that's all I need. No, I'm just kidding. I got to sleep with 4 pillows. Don't ask me why, but I just do. Okay. He shall subdue the people under us and nations under us. He shall choose our inheritance for us, his excellency of Jacob, whom he has loved. Because he chose Jacob, even before he was born. You can even read that in scriptures. But he chose your inheritance for it because you would have chose something stupid. You would have chose, most guys would have chosen beer, sports, and sex. You know, I don't know what women would like, a spa or something, I don't know, whatever. But people would just choose stupid things. And you think that God is into all that, and you think you are too, but none of that stuff ever makes us happy. So God didn't choose us, and the inheritance ends up being him. So when you die and go to heaven, or Jesus comes back and takes us, we'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. World without end. Amen. World without end. And God himself will be everything. We'll be his house. His tabernacle, his tent that he dwells in, because that's what he's doing. You're not going to have a mansion in heaven. You are the mansion. And Jesus will live in you and through you, and it'll be complete. And all your goodness in heaven, all your righteousness will be from Jesus. It will not be you. You will not be perfect in heaven except for Jesus will give that to you for free as a gift, just like he does here on earth. Whenever I do something good, it's Jesus. If I do something good, it's evil. So everything that Jesus does is perfect and good and righteous. Everything I do is evil. If I don't do it by faith. Faith is the key. We have a religion of faith. No other religion. You can name any religion. Muslim, Islam, Buddha. And I talk to those guys, especially when I'm flying to Africa or something. I can, and when I'm in Africa, I can talk to those because there's tons of them. They're everywhere. Buddhist, Muslims, Catholics, even Baptists, even some Protestant religion. You talk to them, they're not. It's not a faith religion. It's based on works. You doing good. You're doing your part. Yeah, God will do his part, but you got to do your part. If you do this, God will do this. If you tithe, God will bless you. And it's true. But that's because you're doing it by faith, with a joyful heart, cheerfully. Right? Amen. But that's just by faith. You're just doing it by faith. You're not even thinking about the reward or the consequences or anything. I don't think about stuff like that. When I sin and I ask for forgiveness, I believe that I have no consequences for it. I believe it's everything's okay. God's not mad at me. He doesn't hate me. He's not going to burn my house down or kill my kids or anything like that. I believe that God is good and he loves me and he's going to take care of me no matter what. Even if I get my head chopped off or I die or something, I don't care. I have eternal life. My life is already over. Why would I care what God does? Even when I pray for people, I prayed for a friend of mine, Larry. Some of you guys know Larry Comerford, but he fell down. He's big. He weighs like 260 pounds, 65. He's big. He's big. Really big guy, tall. But he fell down and he hurt his hip. And he couldn't get off the floor, so him and his wife came and got me, because we live right next door to each other. So she came and got me, and I went over there and made fun of him. But I probably shouldn't have done that. I said, Larry, what are you doing? Because I've known him since we were in college. So I said, Larry, want me to call you a wambulance? No, it's just cute. Anyway. So I go, Larry, let's just, because I knew that God was going to take care of him. So anyway, so we laid hands on him, prayed for him. He laid there for a while. But he couldn't even move. I think he thought he broke his hip. Or I think he probably tore his groin. I don't know what he did. But anyway, it was so painful he couldn't even move. And he was just laying there on the floor. And he called his son. And so after we prayed, laid hands on him, we got him to sit in a chair. And then after we got him in a chair, he stood up and then he was totally healed. He could totally walk and everything. But when you pray for somebody like that, don't worry about the outcome of it. That's what people are always so concerned about, the outcome. You have no control over anything. Nothing. Even Jesus didn't. He believed, he trusted in the Father. He only did what the Father says. Make some mud with your spittle and, you know, stick it in the guy's eye or his ear or something, and he'll be healed. And so Jesus did it by faith. It was just by faith. He did it. And then the next time, he didn't do anything. He just spoke a word, and the guy was healed. Sometimes he didn't even do anything, and the person just touched his hem of his garment. Same thing in the book of Acts. Paul and Peter and all those guys, when they did, sometimes they laid hands, sometimes they sent a napkin, sometimes they did this, sometimes they did that. Peter, when he was preaching to Cornelius and all them, they got baptized. The whole group got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He didn't lay hands on them. He just was preaching to them. And they all got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and prophesy. And I believe those things are starting to happen right now.
Amen.
And they will happen. And we'll have a glorious, wondrous revival. But with persecution, with suffering, with trial. But that stuff's nothing. That makes it just that much more exciting and fun to me. Because there will be opposition always to the gospel. Because the devil, the world, they hate the gospel. They hate the fact that you have to rely on Jesus, the crutch, or Jesus, the whatever they call him. They even changed his whole thing. Yeah, Jesus was a moral person. And they even quoted some of the things he says. And yeah, you ought to love, and da 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 da. And people have all this. But no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no name given among men where we must be saved. That's it. You can't imitate Jesus. You can't think he was a good prophet or anything like that. No, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Savior of the world. He's your only hope. He's your only,
Amen.
Only hope. Faith in Jesus Christ, that's all you got. Nothing else. If you were the most, Jeremiah it says, those that have wealth, don't glory in that. Those who are mighty, don't glory in your might. Now, those who are right, are good, moral people, don't glory in that. But him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Because God does all that. If you have wealth, it came from God. If you have any kind of power on this earth, it's God. If you have any righteousness, of course, we all know that. It's God. It's just a gift. Something God gave you as a gift. So everything you have is a gift. And you got plenty, a lot. I'm just telling you, this country, we have been blessed beyond measure. But it's because of those guys. Our forefathers, they prayed. They served. They suffered mightily. So we could have all these things that we have. Freedom and prosperity and all this stuff that we have that other countries don't have. A lot of countries don't have that. I know in Uganda when I was there, they didn't have that. Zambia didn't have that. But they had a lot of things that we don't have because they were the lowly. They were the least in the world. So God, they were blessed. They understood the gospel. They understood that their hope was in God. Because they had nothing. They had no doctors. I tell you, in Africa, it's bad. You can't just run down to the doctor and, you know, get healed or whatever. You can't do that there. There you got to just trust in the Lord. You can't just have a job or make money and eat and stuff. They just have, every day they have to forage for food and, you know, and their homes are awful compared to us. I mean, to them, they're great. There was this good pastor of this church. He invited us to his house when we were in Zambia, and we went to his house, and it was just a few cinder blocks and a tin roof. And there was nothing. There was no plumbing. Literally, there was nothing. There was no windows, no doors, nothing. And he was like one of the more, I mean, he had his own house. He was prosperous. So anyway, I'm not saying that I don't think it's that big of a deal. I'm just saying we are so blessed. And I just thank God that he takes care of us. And even if you have to go, whether you're rich and live in an awesome house like Julia does. I've been to your house, Julia, before. I know you better know. No. Or me. Or whether you live in a hut or a tent, or it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That stuff is meaningless to God. It's your heart. And your heart is fixed. The Bible says, David said, my heart is fixed, O Lord, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So our heart is already fixed. Your heart is fixed. You've already been chosen out of the world into the kingdom of God. So you're not of the world anymore. So I'm not subject to their laws. I'm not subject to the Bible in Colossians chapter 2. It talks about it. It says Jesus took the handwriting that was on the wall that was against us and nailed it to the cross. So anything that was against you is not against you anymore. Nothing.
Amen.
God doubled over. He took the double. Jesus paid. So even though you were in jail, condemned to die, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He took that and he nailed it to a cross and took it out of the way. So there's nothing against you anymore. So the devil, when he accuses you, you can say, yeah, I did that. But this is the truth. Then you just have to speak the truth. Jesus paid for that. The blood of Jesus, that's already taken care of. So I'm a child of God. I've been born again. I've been spirit-filled. I'm a child of the King. I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I've already, even though God, we haven't seen our inheritance yet, but Jesus gave us a down payment. So you just have to find out what you got in this world, which is a lot. Because Jesus gave you everything. He gave you life and life abundantly. Amen. Well, that just doesn't sound right to a lot of us. We think, God, I know my life has been such a struggle, and I've done this, and God's never helped me out. And people are discouraged, and Christians are very discouraged because they're not living by faith. They're living by what they see, what they feel, particularly what they feel, and what they think. The Bible says, think on these things. What takes care of all your thinking? So, Dan, whatever we think is stupid. That's what I think. Every day, every time I think about something, I'm going, God, I have to ask God. I say, God, sorry, that was a stupid thought. And I say that out loud. Oh, God, that was a dumb thought. And then I just pray. Repent, pray. Seek, just talk to Him. That's, you're talking to Jesus all the time. Do you know you pray without ceasing?
Amen.
When I'm driving down the road and I sigh like that, that's a prayer. God counts that. You can read that in Romans. We have our whole life is groaning. We have groanings inside of us because we're just, remember Lot? It says it in Hebrews chapter 11. It says Lot's righteous soul was tormented day by day by their evil deeds. So when you see people doing evil, when you see all the riots and all the abortions and all the things that are going on in this world, it grieves you to your heart, right? I hope it does. It does. It just does. Even our own lives, we're like, it grieves us. And when it's particularly you folks that have children. When you see your children doing stupid things, getting a tattoo or, you know, doing something stupid like that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. But you see your kids doing stuff, it grieves you. But that's a prayer. And don't think it's not. I think it is. I know it is. So, because you don't know how to pray as you ought. You don't even know how to pray. You can do nothing. You can do nothing. So when I was telling you about that story about Larry, when I laid hands on, I just did that because the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I didn't do it because I thought I had great faith. As a matter of fact, I was making fun of him. I wasn't even being a good Christian. I was being nothing. I just said, Bible says lay hands. I'm just doing this by faith. And I don't care. I don't know if he's going to get healed or not. I don't know anything. I know nothing. You say, well, that wasn't good faith. I don't know if it was or not. I did it by faith. So everything you do by faith. I go to work in the morning. I have my own business. So when I go to do my business, I do it by faith. And I always ask God, God, go before me, prepare a way. You know, make sure this, you know, I got favor. Thank you that everything's working together for my good. And I pray that every day. Every day when I'm going to work, I'll pray. Even when my son works with me also, we pray like that. Everything's going our way.
Amen.
You prepared a way. You're going to protect my family while I'm gone, my wife, my kids, blah, blah, blah. I pray for you guys, everybody, the church, everything. Because that's God. And then how it turns out, I don't know. All I know is however, if I get a flat tire or something doesn't work out, then I'm still blessed.
Amen.
That way I can still be happy. Then I'm happy all the time because I don't care how things turn out. I'm not worried about the consequences of it. Like, for instance, Brendan, my latest grandson. I just had three grandsons born, just like boom, 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 just right in a row. But my last one, Brendan, was born. He wasn't supposed to be here till Christmas, but he came August 29th. That's early. And he only weighed a pound, something, almost 2 pounds, maybe around 2 pounds. And I said, God, you know, so I didn't even know how to pray. I mean, I don't even know what to pray. Just that he lives, for one. You better live. I knew he was going to live. But God told me just the word thrive. So that's all I pray. I don't care what I hear, negative or positive. I know he's going to thrive and be fine. I know he's going to be fine because I got a word from the Lord. So now I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm not worried about now I can just, and then I can help my daughter because I'm not worried about Brendan dying or not dying or whatever. I know it's going to be taken care of, so I'm not worried. And even if he did, which he won't, because God already promised, he would still go to heaven. He'd still be okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not worried about it. Either way, it's with God, it's always win-win. It's always that way. Hallelujah. Always. I don't care what relationships you have with your families. My mom, my dad, my dad just passed away, but he was awesome. God always works everything out for good. My brother, I got two brothers and two sisters, and they even listen when I'm preaching over in Fort Worth. They'll listen online and everything because they think I'm, I don't know what they think. They probably think I'm an idiot, but at least they listen. And you think this church, even this Dallas church, you think, gosh, we're just so tiny. We're just like nothing, but you're not.
That's true. That is
this word, this gospel that we preach, particularly in our church, the gospel that's being preached, goes all over the world.
Yeah.
It has totally changed my family. And I have a big family. I got one aunt that had 13 kids. I have a huge family. I have first cousins. I don't even know who they are. I don't even know their names. I got so many. There's too many to count because we grew up Catholic and no birth control. And when you got married back then, when you were Catholic, you got married, you were married for life. And they just kept having baby after baby. We had five in our family, five kids, and that was small. We had a small family. So anyway, I'm just telling you that to know that God, because I became a Christian, I have a covenant with the God of heaven and earth, the God who created heaven and earth. Then I remind him, I say, this is my family. These are my people. So, I want my kids all to be saved. And I believe God will do it because he promised he would. All my kids will be taught of the Lord, all of them.
Amen.
I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah.
I tell my house church people that all the time because they have a lot of kids too. I said, yeah, no, let's pray for them right now. And we pray every Wednesday night. We pray for all those kids by name. Because God, that's what God's doing right now. Well, what's the point of God saving the world when you don't even, you got to save, your family has to be first. What's the profit of a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul, lose his own family, lose his own, inheritance, whatever. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make sure my kids first. I want my wife, but my wife loves Jesus, and my kids, my relatives, God's already started. Lee and I went to West Texas. We rented a huge ranch, 180 acres, and had a big old ranch house on it and stuff. So we stayed there for a whole weekend, 3 days. I think three nights, 3 days, yeah, something like that. Anyway, all her brothers and sisters, she has five brothers. She has two brothers and three sisters, and they all came. And we all met there, and all their spouses. And we met there just to be with the family because, all this stuff's going on. So we just went out there where people don't care about masks and all that. So we went out there, and that Saturday morning, God just moved. I mean, it was powerful. We had some worship, and then we prayed together, and then everybody shared stuff we didn't even know. I was like, we're all like, whoa. Because Leah's, particularly one of her sisters, is real secretive about everything, about her sicknesses, about her family, and all that. But all this stuff happened to her. It was like, and then her niece, her daughter, had a baby we didn't even know about. And she just told us, my daughter has a 1-year-old son or something like that. And we're like, what? We didn't even know. And she's in prison, by the way. So, anyway, So she, the niece that was in prison, that had all these drug problems and stuff, and another one also that had all kinds of drug problems, but she just got her college degree, and she was a liberal, and she was just all, you know, messed up on drugs and stuff. And she, her dad, Phil, Leah's brother, is a Christian, so he gave her a Bible when she was a little girl, and she never looked at it. It was still sitting there, kind of like Titus's is. I bought Titus a Bible. He does read it, but anyway, it was just sitting on her thing because her dad gave it to her. So she kept it, but she never read it, never even opened it. And she went through college, and she was on drugs, and she said everything was just gray and nothing mattered, life didn't matter, whatever. And she just decided she was going to open that Bible up and look at it. So she did, and she was telling her mom this, Phil's, Leah's brother's wife. She goes, "I just had an awakening." And she described it. It was just amazing how God moved in her life. And, you know, she's a Christian now, and she loves Jesus. And this just happened recently, just a few months ago. And the daughter that was in prison ended up getting saved. And she's doing Bible studies and stuff in jail and all that. And she has 3 kids, by the way. But she did some bad, man, she did some bad things. But she, isn't that neat? I just thought that was cool because God takes those kind of people, and when they get saved, they love Jesus. If you're forgiven much, you love much.
Amen.
If you knew your life, if you knew your flesh, and God shows it to us now and then. When he does, you know, man, every day you know that God loves you and you do not deserve it.
Yeah.
You do not deserve anything. I never, ever, and I don't know how God showed me this, but I never, ever take something I deserve. I always take what God gives me. If you get what you deserve, you don't want what you deserve. You want what Jesus deserves. So you want eternal life. You want life abundantly. See, when Jesus said, "I'm going to give you life and life abundantly," he didn't mean you would never have any problems. He didn't mean you would never get sick. He didn't mean you would never have a problem or get persecuted. He didn't even mean you wouldn't even die physically. When you have life abundantly, it's by faith, and you have it right away. As soon as you're born again, you have rivers of living water.
Amen.
Your life is over, but you don't see that. You might not ever see it the way you think you should see it, but it's still true. You just have to go by the bare word. Whatever the Bible says, that's what you got.
Amen.
Because you might not feel it or think it. Like a lot of people, well, like my brother, for instance, when he got saved, he didn't feel anything. Or, you know, didn't have any feelings or anything like that. But that's okay. That doesn't matter. Because we don't go by all those things. We don't go by the outward appearance. We go by the heart. God always goes by the heart. Israel, even in the Old Testament, if you read the book of Isaiah, he always wanted his people to be circumcised in their heart. God was not that interested in the flesh thing. Our sacrifices. He didn't even take pleasure in it. It says in the Bible he didn't. He goes, I don't. He even says it in the Old Testament. I don't take pleasure in all that. I just take pleasure in those that have a contrite spirit. Those that are broken in spirit and broken in heart. And that's what God likes. Because those are the people he saves. When you're like Leah's nieces, those 2 nieces I just told you about, they were broken. Their lives were over. Kind of like mine, so mine was pretty much the same. I was drinking, I was partying, thought I was awesome. But after a while, that stuff it's nothing. You think, this is all that life's all about? Is that? Is life just about this or that? But it's not. It's about Jesus. So God has eternal life for us. Let's keep reading. I'm almost done. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with a shout, a sound of a trumpet. sing praises unto God, sing praises. Sing praises unto the King, sing praises.
Hallelujah.
For God is the King of all the earth. Everything, the devil, everything that's going on, it cannot happen without God's permission. It cannot. Everything that goes on, God knows. And God has a plan. And God's going to take care of it. Just do what God tells you to do. It says in the Bible to do, I just read this morning, be faithful in the little things and God will give you more. Just do the little things that God tells you to do. Get up early or whatever God tells you to do. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Read your Bible. Go to hear preaching. Do whatever God tells you to do. And God will take care of all the other things. He'll even take care of your family. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. That's, to me, and to the, if you read the Bible, that's everything. That's your whole family. So every day, Titus always says, Dad, it's all you do is read your Bible. All you do is do this. All you do. But that's, I'm doing that not just for myself. I'm doing that for them. Because I'm already saved. I'm already born again. I'm already Spirit-filled. I'm already love Jesus and all that. But I do that for them, for the world, because God's put that in my heart. For instance, when I used to read the Bible, when I was a younger Christian, even sometimes I do that right now because I'm human, I read it kind of religiously or kind of not out of a, kind of a, I don't even know how to explain it, kind of flippantly or whatever. But, or just because you have to, you know, it's a good thing to read your Bible or whatever like that. But now it's like, gosh, for about the last couple of years it's been like, man, I just cannot wait to get home from work so I can just get in the Word. I just can't wait.
Amen.
And it's not because I'm good or anything. It's just because God put that in my heart.
Yeah.
I have no, that's not me. I'm just telling you it's not me. You know, If I wanted to do a total flesh thing, I want to get home so I can watch a movie and drink a beer or whatever, you know, whatever people do when they get home. And that's what people, and that's basically, you know, people just want to unwind because they're stressed. People are so stressed. My neighbors, you know, I can tell they're just so stressed. So when they get home, they got to turn their music on and have a party and all get drunk and do all that kind of stuff. But that's just because they have no hope. No hope without God in this world. If you have that, you know, it's hard to make it through things, a problem or a trial or something like that. You have to turn to something else or you have to seek help. And people in the world will readily help you, but it'll only bring death. If you go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, and you start taking pills, we have a friend of ours who went that direction to do all that, and her life's a mess because she didn't turn to the Lord. But it's that simple. Is it that simple? Yes, it's actually that simple. People complicate things. That's what I loved about living in Africa. Nothing was complicated to them. It was just, that's the devil. You know, they just like straight up. It wasn't, you know, it was no problem. You just cast the demons out, you know, and you just serve the Lord. And that's the way they look at things over there. Everything's black and white. Like Jim says, over there, if you smoke a cigarette, you're not a Christian. If you drink a beer or whatever, you're not a Christian. I mean, you know, or if you did that, or you know, they want to solve that problem. They want to cast the demon out right away. That's just the way they. But that's all they got because they can't go. They don't have psychiatrists over there, or doctors, or they have witch doctors. But those guys, they know those guys are evil. So they have nothing. That's all, and that's all we got too. That's what it's coming down to here, really soon. Okay. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to the King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. So that's God. God's not like, oh my gosh, all the heathen are raging and having doing this and doing that. God knows all that. He reigns over them. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to the Lord God. He is greatly exalted. The shields and the foundations of the earth belong to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God has everything under control. And he, God himself, is our Father. And he has chosen us out, his bride, who you are, who you're going to marry. That's what marriage is all about. I'll never leave you or forsake you. The church is just like that. The church is just like a woman who has gotten married, and then the groom takes care of everything. I know we don't think about that in modern times, but Jesus takes care of everything. He's the one that's going to provide the wedding dress without spot or wrinkle or anything. He's the one that's going to pay for the wedding. He's the one that's going to do everything. He's preparing himself a bride without spot or wrinkle. Not you. Amen. You're not going to prepare yourself because you don't even know what you're doing. Only God knows all that. There's things you don't know. I know there's a lot of prophets, a lot of people that are saying a lot of things. But I tell you, God's preparing his church. It's not because I'm smart or I'm a prophet or anything like that. It's just because I know what the Bible says. And he's going to have a church without spot or wrinkle. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Even if they chop our heads off, even if whatever happens, it will not prevail.
Amen.
Against the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's different. The kingdom of God is not money. It's not a building. It's not a denomination. Every denomination, every religion in this world, whether it's Christian or non-Christian, is all evil. Because it's all man-made. It's just made up by man. And it's organized by man. Everything in it is just a stench in God's nostril. Because God chooses his people. He sanctifies them. He glorifies them. He does everything. And you do nothing. But then you do a lot. I've done more as a Christian just being an idiot than I did ever trying to be a good Christian. I don't ever try to be a good Christian. I don't even know what that even means. I don't think anybody else does either. It means God does everything. That's what it means. If I was going to be a Christian, then I had to totally trust in the Lord. Not in, like that lady that Leah, my wife, witnessed to last night. She probably was a Christian. She was joyful and all that, but she was still trying to be good. She was, yeah, sometimes I can do it, and sometimes, like, yeah. That's how pretty much it is when you're a religious person. You can do it to a degree, but yeah, not perfect. But God demands perfection, so Jesus is perfect, so look to him. He's perfect. Jesus can love my wife. I can't. Jesus can love my kids. I can't. Jesus can love this world, your enemies. Jesus can love all my enemies. I can't. I talk to God like that. I'm like, God, man, I hate that. Probably, I wish they were dead or whatever. You just got to talk to God like that, because you do. We just got to. But honesty, that's not going to set me free. I'm just going to tell God, this is what I'm thinking. That's evil. And when I correct my kids, I say the same thing. I don't care how small of a thing it was. You said that to your sister, that was evil, wicked. It was demonic. You tell your sorry and they do it, and whatever the thing is. But I just want them to know that. But then they're completely forgiven, and I never talk about it ever again. I had a daughter of mine do something pretty big. This was years ago. And I talked to her, like, I talked really rough to her on purpose. I wasn't mad at her or anything like that, because it's just sin. I mean, everybody sins, but I But then after that, I just forgot about it. It's just, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a big thing. It was evil. It was wrong. But then I forgave her. And I never brought it up again, or my wife's never brought it up. And that's just the way it is. That's the way God is. If God marked iniquities, who could stand?
Yeah.
No one. No one could stand, not even Raul. You could not stand. If God marked one iniquity, just one, the other day you did this or that or whatever, you thought, had a bad thought or whatever, so you're not going to ever get past anything. I just laugh at myself every day. I never take myself serious. I laugh. I go, my goodness, God, I can't believe you love me. I am so proudful. I am so wicked. You know, I'm 62 years old, and I still have think like a teenager. I'm an idiot. You know, whatever. I just talk like that. But me and Jesus are talking like that. And then I know, God, you love me, and I know I am your very own son, and you're going to take care of me. Even though I did all that wicked stuff, I'm so blessed. I know you're going to do whatever you said, promised you'd do in the Bible. You're going to come back. You're going to save me. You're going to take me to heaven. You're going to give me a huge inheritance, whatever that is, God himself. And I mean, no one knows exactly what that looks like, but it's going to be awesome. And I didn't even do anything. I'm just like the prodigal son. I just took whatever God gave me, and I just, you know, wasted it. All the gifts God gave me, all the finances. I laugh sometimes. I just think back on all the stupid financial things I did. I'm like, oh my gosh, God, I can't believe I'm still alive. I can't believe I even have a, you know, I just can't believe it. I'm amazed. I really am. I just look back, I go, gosh, because I am an idiot. Because I don't think about money. My wife does, because she's that kind of person. She's a bookkeeper kind of person. And I'm totally the opposite. I don't even care about money. I mean, I should, because I have a lot. I need money because I have a lot of kids. But I don't think about it. I don't ever even. I just ask my wife, do we have money for groceries? Okay. I'm going to stop at the store on the way home. But I don't even know about it. But yeah, Leah is a great wife because she's exactly. But you know what? When we got married, I didn't marry her because she was pretty. I didn't marry her for any reason except God said marry her. Because there's a lot of pretty girls. There's a dime a dozen, and you know what I mean. There's a lot of women out there. But I wasn't even interested in women or anything because I was 25, but I'd never. But I was, you know, I was just a drunk and an idiot. And then I got saved. And then I was so in love with Jesus, I didn't care about stuff like that anymore. I just read my Bible, going to church, and doing whatever. And then Leah came along, and God said, "That's your wife." But she had a boyfriend, which was I thought was her boyfriend. It was actually her brother, which turned out to be really good. Because they would show up at church all the time, and they didn't look alike or anything. So I thought, she's already got a boyfriend. So anyway, but she did have a lot of guys that were after her. But anyway, make a long story short, God said, "That's your wife." And I said, okay. So I never wavered from that.
Amen.
I just said, and I wish I could have just went up to her at that, but she didn't even know me. Or I didn't know her. I mean, I didn't know her either, really. I just saw her. I would have just, because that's just the way I was. I would have walked up and said, "We're supposed to get married, you know." I would have laughed at me. But anyway, I had to do it the proper way and ask her out on a date, and it took 6 months, but it wasted 6 months of my life. I'm just kidding. So anyway, but if you do see, so if you do things God's way, then everything turns out to be a blessing. But even if you don't, you can always repent, change your mind. Be comforted by the Holy Spirit, and God will straighten everything out. I've known people that, like, for instance, Leah's niece, I was talking about, the one that's in prison right now. She's happy. And she's blessed. And she has a really good sense of humor about this whole thing. And she is blessed. And I'll tell you, her life will never be the same. And all she did was believe in Jesus. That was it. She didn't... She's not fixing her life up. She still had to go to jail because she committed the crime. So she has to sit... But it's a blessing, I'm telling you. Because now she's trusting in the Lord. She can't trust in her drugs and in her boyfriends and her whatever other crimes she was doing, her robberies and stuff like that, because she's in jail. I mean, Leah's sending her books, but you got to... I mean, it's a big deal. When somebody's in jail, yeah, some of you might have relatives in jail, but when you send them stuff, it's got to be... Man, it's got to be a certain way, or they're not going to give it to them. You can only write a letter on one side. I mean, they have all these rules. They're strict. You can only send a book that's paperback and can't be hardcover because I think they can make a knife out of it or something. Those people in jail can do a lot of things. They're really smart. They can make a lot of weapons and stuff. But they can smuggle stuff in and out. But anyway, so it's really strict. And you can't talk to her on the phone. I mean, there's a lot of things you just can't do. And they have, and so her life is totally controlled by this prison thing. And
when will she get out?
A couple of years, I think. Probably. But the people that she was with, they got like life in prison. I mean, it was bad stuff. It was really bad. Like stuff you would, you know, you'd think, oh my gosh, she'll never get out of jail. But anyway, but that's what I mean. God forgives everybody. Doesn't matter if you're a murderer, drug addict, pervert, doesn't matter what you are. God forgives every sin. So any life can be changed. Any life.
Amen.
Any life. Any life. Your life. My life. Even if you're a Christian or not a Christian, turn to Jesus. A lot of Christians don't even believe all that. They just believe, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven someday. But I never thought that. I mean, I thought that. I mean, I know I'm going to heaven and all that stuff. I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But my eternity starts right now. So I have heaven. I do. I was just thinking about that. I go, I have heaven on earth. It's not because my circumstances are perfect. It's because I do not take myself seriously at all. Or anybody else. I just think God loves everybody.
Amen.
So, I don't even take Pastor Jim seriously. I don't take anybody seriously. But I take their gifts seriously because it's from God. That's why every time I possibly can, I go to church and listen to the word preached because I know it's good for me. Even if I don't even like it. I don't even care if I like it or don't like it. I just go. By faith. I mean, I don't care about if it's great or the music's good. I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't. I tell you, I don't. I don't care if Alex is leading worship or Lauren Dangle. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. But I just believe that God will not cheat me. My wife always says this. She always reminds me, God will not cheat you. So I'm never cheated. But that guy swindled me, or I deserve this, or whatever. You don't deserve anything. God just gives you everything for free. So God gives you what you don't deserve. That's good. That's a good God. That's a good father. I do the same thing with my kids. I give my kids stuff they do not deserve all the time. They all deserve a spanking. But I don't do it all the time. Very rarely do I. Because I always give them what they don't deserve. I'm teaching them that God's that way. He gives you what you don't deserve. So I never say I earned something or I deserve this. I just go, God, thank you, Lord, for your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord. And I do, sometimes I'll think about how things panned out in my life. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was a miracle. Because I'm just like Mr. Magoo, you know. I'm just like walking through this world just like I don't even know what's going on. And God just takes care of me. I just trust Him. Even if it doesn't work out the way I think, it works out good. And then I see later that it worked out perfect. And that's just interesting to me, that God would do that. Because when you're going through something, you're thinking, oh my gosh, God failed me, I failed myself, I'm such a slut idiot, I should have done this. Don't ever regret anything you've ever done. I've done some stupid, you guys would, kick me out of this church right now if you probably knew some of the things I did. But God takes care of all that. He covers for you. He covers a multitude of sins. All of them, actually. Every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit, it's already on the cross. God doesn't even think about it or know about it. He's not worried about it. He's just going, no, I'm doing the work. Just trust me. Trust me. Okay, God, I'm trusting you, but things look pretty... A couple days ago, I was distressed. And I never am. I was just like totally distressed for some reason. I couldn't even think of... I kept going, God, what's going on? Why am I so anxious and worried and fearful? And... Because I found out that's in me. That's in my flesh. You'll never overcome anything all the way until Jesus comes back. When he comes back, you'll see him and you'll be just like him. And that's where you're headed. But till you get there, you still got the same flesh that everybody else has. You still lust. You still have greed. You still have pride. You still have all those things in you. But you just die to them every day. By what? By being a fool. You're just a fool. I'm a fool for Christ. I'm just going to... who shouts in the morning, does stupid things like that for no reason? I didn't even win the lottery or anything. And who rejoices in suffering? That's stupid. That's a fool. And people think you're a fool. Just find out some bad news or something. Hallelujah, everything's working out good for me, whatever. But it's just crazy how we live. But it's the right way to live. It keeps you sane. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you settled. It keeps you sober. The Bible says over and over again to be sober-minded. God will never leave you or forsake you. Don't worry. Don't get anxious. Don't be fearful and all that stuff. But we are anyway. That's okay. I was the other day big time. It just grabbed me. And I couldn't get it over. I say, Jesus, you got to do it. I'm not going to worry about it. You're going to have to take care of it because I'm fearful, I'm anxious, and then whatever else that guy was showing me. And I said, but I'm not going to take care of it. I go, I repent, but you got to do it. I can't not be fearful and not be anxious or not be prideful or whatever I was. You got to do it. So, and he did. Because I just trusted in him that he'd do it. I didn't trust in my ability to not be prideful or my ability to not be fearful. You have to trust in the Lord. And he'll do it. You just got to admit. You got to be like the two guys went to pray. One said, God, I'm not like Alex, a slob and a publican and a sinner. Thank God I tithe twice a day or whatever it was, twice a week, and I'm a good person and I'm a child of Abraham and all that stuff. No, that's how we come to God. We just come to God just with all your filth and all your garbage and all your rotten crap that's in you. Excuse me for saying that, but all the stuff that's inside of you, you just lay it out on the table to Jesus and let Jesus sort it all out and take care of it. And he will. He does it every time. Every time. But if you want to take it back up again and carry it, the burden, you can do it. Jesus will let you. But if you want to roll all that over onto Jesus, that's what that word, casting all your cares on him, it means you roll it all over on him and he'll take care of it. So Father, we thank you for your word. God, thank you for taking care of us.
Yes.
That you said you would never, never, never leave us or forsake us. So we thank you that we are not forsaken, but we, even though we feel like it sometimes because we don't feel you or whatever, that doesn't matter. You're always with us. Our heart is always fixed. We never, ever, ever, ever sin from the heart. Because that's where Jesus is. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the not only our Savior, but He's our Lord. He's the one who sanctifies us by killing us every day. And He raises us up. When we're dead with Him, we raise together with Him, and we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Wow. That's pretty much like you did everything. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for loving us, taking care of us. Thank you for everyone here, particularly for their relatives and their children. Father, thank you that you are bringing them into the kingdom of God, that there will be a great, great, great awakening amongst this people, Father God, and their relatives, their children, their children's children. And Father, we thank you for doing that. And it's happening right now and soon. Because you're preparing a bride, a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And you're building it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for that. So we have hope. We have life and life abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look at you. Amen. Can you...
Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
I'm still loaded during this time that you just really dedicated to the healing of the president, our president, Biden.
Okay.
And the other people in his cabinet who have the virus.
Okay. All right. I guess everybody's probably heard about that, right? Yeah. I'm sure. But
by the way, that was
a blessing. Oh,
hey. Amen.
All right. Yeah, the Bible says that we are to pray for, like, Trump, dignitaries, people that have the rule over us.
Yes.
Particularly those that have rule over us in the Lord, I think. But also, politically,
yeah.
Even if their policies and their political views and stuff are wicked, it doesn't matter. We still pray for them. We pray for everyone. When Obama was president, I prayed for him all the time. And we pray for Trump. We pray for everyone that has ruled, judges. So Father, we come to you today. We thank you that Jesus Christ himself died on the cross. And when he died, he had all of us in mind, everybody in the world, and even Donald Trump and his wife, his children, Lord, his relatives, even his grandmother, who was actually part of a great revival, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that you take care of them, that this coronavirus, God, we pray that you will heal them.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, and the people in his cabinet, Father, and that it would be obvious that it's you, that you would get all the glory and honor and praise for it. And we thank you, Father God, that you would keep them safe, particularly Trump, Lord, that no harm would come to him.
Yes.
No scheme, no weapon formed against him will prosper in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Father God, you'll keep him. And Lord, we know that you are in control, and obviously, because he won, that you raised him up to be our president. So we thank you for that.
Yes,
just as we thanked you in years past for all our other presidents. And we thank you, Father, that you raised them at such a time as this, just like you did them and like you're doing with us. And Lord, we thank you continue to do your work, Lord, that our country would remain free so that we could get the gospel out, so that we could live a godly life in this world. And you would have a church. I know it's not just here in America, it's everywhere, but you have a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, a free church that can, because you said this gospel will be preached throughout the whole world. And there's still tons of people, a whole generation of kids that need to hear the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for the great awakening that's coming in this country.
Yes.
We thank you that, Lord, what we're doing today, taking communion, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, that's our life. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And God, that you are reconciling the whole world through Jesus Christ, through the church, to yourself. Wow. Thank you for letting us be a part of that. It's a miracle. And so, Father, we do. We just partake of the body. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And his body was broken for us. So we thank you for that. And we thank you that as we do this, Lord, that we just receive by his stripes, we are healed in our bodies, that our minds are clear, that our will is strong for you, that we are being sanctified, and you forgive us all of our sins, all of them, even the ones, the secret sins, we don't even know them ourselves, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us. And we do repent of all of our sins, Father. And we thank you for that. And we just take the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this blood of this testament, Lord, that this testament is even better promises than the Old Testament. Because this is a unilateral covenant, something you did, and you do everything. You take the burden, Jesus dying on the cross, you did everything for us. And we believe it, because we are crucified with Christ. And nevertheless we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In a life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Jesus, we take this blood, this covenant, by faith in Jesus Christ, that all of our sins are forgiven, they're all paid for in full, that all of our blessings, Lord, the blessings of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the blessings that you gave us through Jesus Christ, that they are yes, and amen. And so we thank you for this blood covenant, Father God, that you made with us. In Jesus' name. Let's take the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.